Thank you. Thank you, Dan, very much for that that overgenerous introduction here today. I guess Annie and I attended a dinner back home in Ohio not too long ago in which the person introducing me got all carried away with accolades and accomplishments I never dreamed of having in this life or the next, and finished this introduction by finally saying, "There are few truly great men in this world." And then he introduced me. Now, that's rather heady. And going home that night, I guess I was still thinking about it and mentally basking in the glow of that introduction. And I said, Annie, you know, if you think about it, there aren't very many really, truly great Americans in this world. And it took her about 10 seconds to say, "Let me tell you something, there's sure one less than you think there is." So Annie keeps a proper balance wheel in our family, and she's here today. Annie, thank you. Before we get to the questions and answers today, to reflect your views and your questions, I want to make just a few remarks. I can't help but stand here today with a real sense of deja vu, some 40-year-old almost sense of deja vu, because I was on a stage similar to this and introduced as one of the first seven astronauts all those years ago. And we got accustomed to standing even in alphabetical order. We were photographed enough back in those days, and it was Carpenter, Cooper, Glenn, Grissom, Shiraz, Shepard, and Slayton in that order. And some of you are old enough maybe to have covered some of those days back then. But it was an exciting time. It was an adventurous time. Our country was on the verge of taking a step into the unknown, a step that we didn't even quite know how to train for back in those days. We were in the depths of the Cold War and all that that meant. And we made those initial steps, and it was a kickoff, and we've made some very big advances in those plus 38 years since the first NASA press conference. And the success of America's space program has opened up not only the skies, we've now gone above the blue that we see as skies, but it's brought our country and the world immeasurable scientific benefits. We've gone in that short period of time, in those few decades, from what we called a capsule back in those days with one person in it, up to where we'll now put up in just a few months the first part of the International Space Station. And we've gone from the depths of the Cold War to where our former adversaries are now going to be cooperating with us on this International Space Station. Some 15 different nations involved directly with this. I'm very proud to have been part of the beginnings of America's space program. And needless to say, I'm excited to be back, and I'm honored, I'm privileged, but more than that, it's not important how I feel standing here. The important thing is the opportunity that this gives to take us in some new directions with research, and I think that's what we really are kicking off. This is not announced today as a whole program on a 10-year program or whatever, but analyzing what comes out of these efforts can well lead to some things like that into the future. In other words, starting another dimension to all of NASA's great work they've done through the years and continue to do, and the work that the astronauts do on every single flight that quite often does not get the attention that it should have. But it's broadened out our areas of research tremendously. Now, for several years, I had looked at some of the similarities between what happens on spaceflight and what happens here on Earth as a normal part of the aging process. And when I first, almost 2 years ago, coming up on 2 years ago, when I first sat down and made a formal proposal, after having just mentioned this a few times, but sat down and made a formal proposal to the administrator, to Dan Golden, that there are reasons why we should be looking into some of these similarities between spaceflight and the normal processes of aging, and that I would like to be the one to look into this. I would be the proper age, and some of our discussions with the people out at NIA and National Institute of Aging and NIH had indicated 75 to 80. They saw no reason why that wouldn't be a good age and learn some new things, if we could, by sending someone up that age. But when the first time I brought this up, the first thing that Dan Golden wanted to stress was nobody was going anywhere just for a free ride if it had a good basis in science and be peer-reviewed and put through all the hoops that NASA puts their experiments through. If it survived that, and then if I could pass a physical, why, they would consider this. But that was the ground zero mark right from the first time we discussed this on a serious basis. Now, I am excited about the science that I'll be performing on this mission. I'm excited because I can contribute to both NASA and the National Institute of Aging's research on the human body, and I'm excited to once again be an active part of this, not just a national effort now, but an international effort that is America's space program. Now, we can explain, if people want to, the details of the things that I'll be looking into on this. You know, when I was looking into some of the differences on the on what happens in spaceflight and what happens to people right here on Earth as part of the aging process, I came up with 10 different items in this that I wish we had good projects all lined up for all of them right now. But that isn't the way it works, and some of those need more resources, more effort. But we do have a couple of very, very good scientific purposes, scientific experiments to be run, and we could get into some of those things later. But let me say why I think this is important. Right now, there are some 35 million Americans over the age of 65. I view myself as representing those people in this effort in space flight. And that number will increase, it's estimated, by the year 2050 to almost 100 million people that will be plus 65 in age. The boomer generation, as they come in, as many of you are, as I look out here, many of you are in that boomer generation. As you get older, you will add to that plus 65 group that we're talking about. And we all know, some of us better than others, what happens to the human body when it does age. We have a number of things happen. Bone mass deteriorates. The muscles weaken. Immune system becomes less responsive. Cardiovascular system has changes. Balance changes. Osteoporosis sets in. These are all things that occur also in the normal processes of space flight, for which the astronauts come back and basically recover. Now, we know the what's of aging. But I want to try to contribute more to learning about the whys of aging. Hopefully, we can lessen the frailties of old age that plague so many people. And we can learn something that maybe at the same time that helps the astronauts, the younger astronauts, going up there for extended flights also. One way we might be able to get at those whys is through studying the similarities of the aging process and what occurs to astronauts while they're in space. Many of those same changes that have been detected in astronauts while they're in space are things that occur right here on Earth in the aging process. But with the astronauts, the younger people, when they come back to Earth, they return back to their previous status. We don't have that kind of reverse capability, at least not yet, for the elderly. What if we studied the effects of space travel and weightlessness on someone who had already gone through much of the aging process? Would we see the same kind of changes? Would you be immune to them? Would we be able to find out what turns the aging processes on and off eventually? If it's these kinds of questions that led me to be here today. So I see this as another adventure into the unknown. I hope my work with NASA and the National Institute of Aging, both here on Earth and on the space shuttle, will be a start to opening up some new and exciting avenues for us to study and learn more about the aging process. Let me be just a bigger context, just philosophical, for maybe 1 minute. Last year, I announced my retirement from the Senate at the end of this year, and I talked at great length about why America has become the greatest nation on Earth. And I think it comes down to America's sense of curiosity, a willingness to go out on discovery, a willingness to look at the unknown. We have been a curious, a questing people throughout all of our history. We almost have an innate sense of curiosity, an unquestionable questing spirit. We tamed a continent back in our earlier days. We cured deadly diseases. We won wars. We came back from a depression. We did more research and inquiry into the unknown than any nation in history. And out of that came this surge that we know as our great economy that we have today here, and our standard of living, it exceeds anything known around the world. Hard to believe that in the 1900s, at the beginning of this century we're just reaching the end of, The life expectancy for Americans was in the mid-40s. Here we are today with these advances in medical science and everything that we have known in our own lifetimes here, and we're in the upper 70s in life expectancy. What a tremendous jump forward, mainly because we did the basic research that was necessary to let all of that happen. So that curiosity continues today. Every astronaut that trains at Houston and every astronaut that goes to the Cape and launches and performs research is building on that heritage that we have built up through our whole history through over 200 years in this country. It's that kind of research and that kind of interest in research and this kind of quest for the future, for information for the future, that I think is the job that NASA does best. Their job is to push back the frontiers of the unknown and let us know in our own time these things that can benefit all Americans. So I heard a quote that Dan Golden uses quite often. I think it was given to him by a schoolgirl someplace, I was told. And after he had given his pitch, she summed it up in little notes she gave him. And the word, I don't know whether these are the exact words, but it was to the effect, if you don't go, we won't know. And that about summarizes things as far as the space program goes. If we don't do these things, maybe some of them can be done by other means. Maybe some can be done by robots. Some things cannot be done by robots. But if we don't go, we won't know. And what we're trying to do is establish the best pattern of research for the future that will benefit the greatest number of people we possibly can. So on behalf of everybody my age and older and those who are about to be our age before too many years have gone, I can guarantee you I'll give it my very best try. Thank you.